Chapter 2. The Second History. The Reason Behind Lord Jagannath's Appearance. You have now heard the first history, but it does not fully explain why Jagannath desired to manifest in a form that appeared to be incomplete. That explanation is contained in a somewhat different history, which was discovered by the Goswamis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. It is not written down anywhere in its entirety. It exists only in the hearts of pure devotees, especially those devotees who have received Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Actually, there are two histories like this, not just one, and they are both very beautiful. Srila Sanatana Goswami has included part of the first of these histories, which is most interesting, in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Krishna took birth in Gokul. He manifested himself partially in Mathura as well, but he himself is fully the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba. In Mathura, he did not appear as a son. He appeared with four hands and was 16 years old. He was wearing golden ornaments, a golden crown, and very opulent clothing, and his wavy hair was very long. In Gokul, on the other hand, he emerged from the womb of Yashoda as a baby, along with his younger sister. He was actually the son of Nanda and Yashoda, not their adopted son. Sometimes it is written that he was the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, but the Brijbasis do not accept that idea. They personally saw him come from the womb of Yashoda, so how could they believe that he took birth in Mathura? There was no birth ceremony in Mathura, but in Braj, Nanda Baba gave thousands of cows to the Brahmanas on Krishna's birthday. He donated everything and kept nothing in his house, but his house still filled up with wealth again. It was such a good festival. Krishna was raised in Gokul, where Yashoda bound him to the grinding mortar by her love and affection, and where so many other sweet pastimes took place. When Krishna became older, he went cowherding with his friends, playing sweetly on his flute. Over a period of time, he killed Trinavrata, Bakasura, Agasura, and other demons. He performed the Rasa Lila in Vrindavan, and he played at Vamsivat and Keshigat. Then, after some time, Akrura came to Vrindavan and told Krishna, "Kamsa wants to kill your father and mother, Vasudeva and Devaki." Krishna replied, "My father is Nanda Baba and my mother is Yashoda Mayi. But Vasudeva and Devaki are friends of my father and mother, so I should go and save them." He immediately went with Akrura, killed Kamsa, enthroned Ugrasen as the king, and after some time he went to Dwarka. Sri Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita relates the following pastime that took place while Krishna was residing in Dwarka. You have heard of Sri Narada Muni, who was very expert in performing many unfathomable pastimes to please Krishna. He was a very near and dear friend of Krishna, and he always discovers new ways by which he can glorify Krishna's various manifestations and pure devotees. It may be said that Narada Muni is very tricky, because no one can comprehend what he is doing, or why and how or where he is going. Krishna is tricky, and so are his gopis, his mother, his Braj, his Yamuna, and his devotees. Similarly, wherever Narada goes, only for the purpose of serving Krishna, he is always busy inventing unique ways to glorify his holy master Krishna, along with Radhika, the gopis and the devotees. Once, Narada went to Dwarka in order to see the ever-increasingly new glories of Krishna and the gopis. No one would understand who are the greatest devotees if Narada had not revealed this knowledge. He went to Dwarka to discover a scheme to glorify them. In the palace of Rukmini, Narada saw a big festival taking place. All 16,108 queens were present, headed by the eight prominent queens, such as Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Bhadra, Mitravinda, and Nagnajiti, and other Dwarkavasis were also there. Narada approached Rukmini, Satyabhama, and the other queens and said in their assembly, "You are very fortunate to serve Krishna. You are the best servants of Krishna. You are his queens. You are the most glorious in this entire world. I pay my respects to you." What Narad was really conveying to the queens was, Krishna does not love any of you. I know that he only and always remembers the gopis. He does not really want to be with you. Really, he wants to return to Vrindavan and taste the love of the gopis. Rukmini and Satyabhama became unhappy and informed Narad, "You are glorifying us, but we are well aware that we have not been able to make Krishna happy since the time he married us. Our love cannot control him. There are so many of us, and we are very beautiful and qualified in all the arts, but still we cannot satisfy him." Rukmini said, "When he sleeps in my room on my bed, he cries continually. Sometimes when he dreams, he takes hold of my veil and pulls on it, crying, 'Oh Radhika, oh Radhika, where are you? I will die without you. Oh Lalita, where are you? Oh Vishakha, where are you?' Sometimes he weeps piteously and calls out, 'Mother Yashoda, where are you? I want to eat bread and butter. I want to sit in your lap. I want to drink your breast milk. Where are you?' Sometimes he calls his friends, 'Oh Shridam, Subal, Madhumangal, Kokil, Bringa, where are you? Come on, come on. I cannot maintain my life without you. Where are you? The cows are waiting and you aren't coming? Now it's time for cow herding. You must come.' And sometimes he even calls his cows, 'Shyamali, Dvavali, Kalindi, Ganga, Prasanga. Where are you? Where are you?' He weeps like this throughout the night, and the entire bed becomes wet with his tears. And this did not happen on just one night. He is always like this. He never sees where we are or who we are. We are just there. We are very sad. We are not near and dear to him at all. If we were near and dear, why does he not call out Rukmini, Satyabhama? He never calls out our names." Then Satyabhama said, "O Sakhi, you speak the truth. Last night he wept bitterly and pulled my veil, calling out, 'O Radha, O Radha.' He fell unconscious, and I could not think of what to do. What is the history behind this? Why does Krishna never look upon us, although we are married to him? We are so sweet and beautiful. We are so expert in all the arts, yet we cannot please Krishna. We want to know how we can please him." Meanwhile, Krishna was sitting in his assembly hall called Sudharma. This hall was equipped with all kinds of facilities. Sometimes it was large, sometimes small, sometimes cool, sometimes warm, and sometimes it was air-conditioned. It would provide whatever one desired simply by the power of his mind. Sometimes 100 people would be present there, and sometimes thousands. It expanded and contracted like Krishna himself. While the queens were talking, Krishna's associates were sitting in the council chamber discussing various problems and how to solve them. Ugrasen Maharaj sat on the throne in the middle, and Akrura, Krishna, Baladev, Uddhav, and others sat beside him. Krishna was not his normal self. He was somewhat upset, absorbed in worrying about something. In the Padma Purana it is said, "Naham tishtami vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta." Krishna once told Narad, "I never live in Vaikuntha, nor do I live in the hearts of the yogis. I live in the hearts of pure devotees. I live wherever they remember me, and I take rest very comfortably there. I do not live anywhere else." It was for this reason that Krishna was upset. Being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could understand the following pastime was taking place in Rukmini's palace. Mother Rohini entered in the midst of the queens. She was Baladev Prabhu's mother, had lived in Vrindavan with Yashoda for many years, and had nourished and supported both Krishna and Baladev. As soon as she came in, all the queens present offered her pranam and gave her a good seat. Then when she was comfortably seated, they all approached her and said, "O mother, we know that you were in Braj when Krishna and Baladev were babies, and you stayed there for 11 years. You know the history of the gopis. You know about the love and affection of the gopis, of Mother Yashoda, and of all the Brijabasis. We want to know the importance of Braj. We want to know what it is about the nature of the Brijabasis' love that makes Krishna unable to forget them. Many years have now passed. We have been serving Krishna for more than 50 years, but still he is not controlled by our loving service. He never calls out, O Rukmini, O Satyabhama. Rather, he always calls, Radha, Radha, Lalita, Vishaka. What is the reason for all this? Sometimes his heart melts so much that he calls out, Mother, Mother Yashoda, where are you? Give me bread and butter. My cows are hungry. I must go out cow herding at once. The boys are calling me. Dham, Sudham, Shridham, and others are calling me. They are waiting for me by the door, and all the cows are mooing very loudly. They are not giving milk to their calves, because they are all hankering for me, so I must go at once. He does not think, I am in Dwarka, and my beloved Rukmini and Satyabhama are here. Why? What is there in Braj? They do not have any wealth, as we do here. The gopis have no ornaments like us. They are not as beautiful. They live in the forest, and they can only decorate themselves with flowers, not with gold and jewels as we do. Krishna used to go cowherding there, and here he is like a king. So why does he always remember them? Why has he given his heart to them? We want to know. Do they know some magic? Do they know an enchanting mantra? They must know one, and that must be why Krishna always remembers them and weeps for them. We are Krishna's 16,108 queens. We are the most beautiful ladies in the entire world, and our qualities and expertise in everything is unique and unparalleled. Still, all of us together can never control him. Mother, what is the reason that he never looks towards us? Why is it that we cannot satisfy one Krishna, although we are so many? We serve him in innumerable ways, and we love him so much, but we cannot satisfy him. He is only worried about the gopis and about calling out to them. What is the reason? We want to know everything. When Rohini Mayi remembered her friend Yashoda and all the gopis, she began to weep. And then she began to explain the reason. She related all of Krishna's pastimes from boyhood up to his 12th year. Meanwhile, Kamsa's mother came into their midst. Being more than 100 years old, she was bent over with her head at an odd angle and walked with a stick. This is very dangerous, she told them. Why talk about the gopis and gopas? They are very cruel, very cruel. Yashoda could not nurture Krishna and Baladev properly. They are the sons of Devaki, but somehow they were sent to Gokul because their parents were afraid of Kamsa. Yashoda never gave a drop of yogurt or butter to Krishna and Baladev, so they were forced to steal them from their neighbors' houses. Then when the neighbors complained to Yashoda, she would immediately chastise Krishna, and sometimes she would tie his hands and bind him to a grinding mortar. Yashoda and Nanda Baba are so cruel and evil that they never gave Krishna any shoes or sandals. Although the forests are full of many thorns and hard pieces of stone, don't talk about them. Krishna used to herd the cows from morning to evening all over Braj, with no pay and without shoes or an umbrella to shield him from the afternoon sun. There are great quantities of butter there in Braj, but he never got any of it. Anyone would give butter even to a servant, but they never gave him any. Yashoda once tied Krishna up with ropes. He was weeping bitterly, but that lady had no mercy. She took a stick and wanted to beat him, although he was crying, Mother, Mother, please don't beat me. I will never do it again. He never did anything wrong, but still she wanted to beat him. On the other hand, my husband Ugrasen is extremely merciful. I think Krishna was there for 12 years, and during that entire time, he only received a small quantity of milk from Mother Yashoda. Between the ages of 5 and 12 years old, he and Balaram were merely given some bread and butter. So we should count how much Yashoda and Nanda Baba spent on Krishna during those 12 years. We should also count how many days he herded the cows there. And we also have to consider that sometimes he went to other houses and stole their goods. they should pay Krishna and Baladev some money for the cow grazing they did. But on the other hand, Krishna received at least some clothing from them. Anyway, we will count everything up and call Gargacharya, because he is an expert accountant, as well as an astrologer. He knows everything. When he writes the accounts, he will make a statement regarding the salary owed to Krishna and Baladev for cowherding, and what was actually already spent on them. We will not pay for Rohini, because she is a member of the party of Nanda and Yashoda and the gopis. We will never pay for her. We can only pay for Krishna and Baladev. There should be a report. When the accounts are written and balanced, if anything is owed to Yashoda and Nanda, we will pay double. Rohini became more and more angry as Padmavati continued. My husband is extremely broad-minded, generous and merciful. If anything is owed to Yashoda and Nanda, we pay double. And if anything is owed for Krishna and Baladev herding the cows, we will immediately be compassionate and say, we will not take anything, so we are going to call Gargaracharya. Mother Rohini then became extremely angry and said, I know who you are. Padmavati was the wife of Ugrasen, but Kamsa was not Ugrasen's son. Padmavati was the wife of Ugrasen, but Kamsa was not Ugrasen's son. Once, when Padmavati was very young, she was playing with her friends on the bank of the Yamuna in the evening. A demon named Drumila approached her in a lusty mood, and that is how Kamsa was conceived. Rohini continued, I know that you are not a chaste lady, and that is why you can't understand the glory of the Brijabasi's love and affection. Rohini stopped speaking to Padmavati and now addressed the queens. One by one she explained the moods of Nanda Baba, Yashoda, Shubal and Sridham, and at last she began to speak about the gopis. She said, the Brijabasis love Krishna so much that they cannot live without him. When Krishna and Baladev were still very young, they wanted to take the cows out to graze, so they told Mother Yashoda again and again, Mother, we want to go cow herding because we are gopas. Please give us the order to go. When they were not given permission, they began to weep. At last, Mother Yashoda told them, You may go with the calves to a nearby forest in Vrindavan, but you must return home soon. She brought them very beautiful shoes and umbrellas to shade them from the sun, but Krishna told her, The cows are worshipable for us, because they are like our mothers. If you want to give me shoes, then bring shoes for all the 900,000 cows. You should bring 400,000 shoes for every 100,000 cows, because they each have 4 feet. Bring umbrellas for all of us too, and then I will also take the shoes and umbrella. Otherwise I won't. I don't want to be their master. I want to be a servant of the cows, because I am a gopa. Gopa means maintainer, supporter and nourisher of the cows, as their servant. Yashoda once told Krishna, My son, all the gopis come to me and complain that you have been going to their houses and taking butter from their storehouses. Krishna said, Mother, why are you speaking like this? Mai, me nahin makan kaya. Mother, why do you say that I have stolen butter? I have not stolen butter and eaten it. You sent me cowherding in Madhuvan in the very early morning, so I went there. And I was always with the cows. Now it's evening, so I have come back with the cows, and after this I will go to bed. When did I have time to steal butter? If you think I've stolen it, then it must be because I'm not your son. Either you borrowed me, or else I took birth somewhere else, and my mother left me, and that is why you think I'm a thief. I want to go to the Jamuna and jump in. I will not live with you any more. Yashoda at once began to weep bitterly. She embraced Krishna and said, O Krishna, you have not taken butter. I have not said this. But Krishna replied, Mother, I have taken butter. Mai, me nahi makan kaya. And Yashoda replied to him, No, no, you have not taken butter. Then she began to caress Krishna. She wept and bathed him with her tears, and milk flowed spontaneously from her breasts. Yashoda cried, I will never say such a thing again. Rohini Devi continued, The Brijabasis only know that Krishna is their son. their beloved and their friend. You sometimes think that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and you can see his four hands, but this idea is never present in Braj. The Brijabasis see Krishna as an innocent boy. He is always dancing and playing on his flute. His turban is decorated with a peacock feather, and all the gopis are his beloveds. He is Gopijana Vallabha, the beloved of all the gopis. The gopis do not require a formal relationship with Krishna. Since childhood they have given him their hearts and everything else to him, and therefore he cannot repay them. Oh, listen attentively. The gopis never want to gain anything from Krishna. They always serve him without any desire for self-gain. In Dwarka, you, Rukmini and Satyabhama are Krishna's wives, but not his beloveds. Do you know why? Because your love and affection is divided into many fractions. Besides your husband, Krishna, you each have 10 sons and a daughter as well. Your one husband plus these 11 makes 12, so your love and affection is divided into 12 parts. The gopis' love, on the other hand, is not divided. They have given up their husbands. They have no children. They do not take care of their houses, and they have no animals. They have nothing to look after. Their love and affection is akhand, total, full, and undivided. In the relationship of a lover and beloved, a lady gives her entire time for her beloved, but her love and affection becomes divided if a child is born. She will give much more time to the baby than to her husband. If she has 10 or 11 children, her love and affection will then be divided still further. Rohini explained that when the gopis perform any duty, such as sweeping in their homes, they always keep Krishna foremost in their minds and hearts. They sweep, and at the same time they chant, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. And while cooking they sing, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. If a gopi is looking after her eldest small son, and she wants him to sleep, she pats him and sings, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. The gopis do not tell the babies, go to sleep, go to sleep. Instead they sing, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. If they are threshing corn, wheat or rice, they sing, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. There are some parrots in the gopis' homes, and very early in the morning at 4 a.m. they teach these parrots, repeat after me, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. The minds and hearts of the gopis are always absorbed in Krishna. Their minds and hearts are like a chariot on which Krishna is always sitting, and his mind and heart is like a chariot on which the gopis ride. Krishna always thinks of the gopis, calling Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe. He always remembers Radha, Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, Mother Yashoda. Krishna's love and affection is divided into many parts. In the Gita 4.11, he has promised, Yeyata Mam Prapadyante, I will remember those who remember me. And he is bound to keep his promise. He will go to that place where his devotees remember him and chants his name. He is very loving towards the Brijabasis, but at the same time, he cannot give up the devotees of Mathura, Dwarka, or other parts of India, or the rest of the world. If anyone chants, he will go to that person. He always remembers them, and he always feels great separation from them. Consequently, his love is divided, but the gopi's love is not divided, and that is why he is so attached to them. Mother Rohini continued, Krishna used to wipe the faces of the gopis when they became tired from dancing and singing during the Rasa Leela. The gopis can sing more sweetly than he can. He can sing Sa Re Ga Ma Pa, but the gopis can do more than this. Krishna will stop there, but the gopis will sing Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa. When Krishna heard them, he became very happy and said, Sadhu, sadhu, very good, very good. I cannot do as you have done. He always used to praise them. The gopis' rati, their love and affection for Krishna in Mahabhava, is called Samartha Rati. The word Samartha means capable, suitable, and complete. Therefore, Samartha Rati means capable of controlling Krishna. The rati of the queens of Dwarka is called Samanjasa, which means that it is doubtful that their love can control Krishna. They are not like the gopis, whose love is capable of controlling him. The gopis' prema is so elevated that the queen's love can never even be compared with it. The queen's love reaches the stages of prema, sneha, man, pranaya, rag, and anurag. Sometimes they attain a shadow of Mahabhava, and sometimes they experience divyonmad and chitrajalpa, but only to a very slight extent. Their astasattvika bhavs cannot go up to ujvalita, blazing, or prajvalita, inflamed. Their bhav may go up to dummayita, which is compared to a flame covered with smoke. Sometimes their bhav is almost without smoke, in other words, more intense, but it is never as high as that of the gopis. The smokeless flame of the gopis' love goes up to the highest extent. Mother Rohini then began to glorify Srimati Radhika's affection for Krishna. She said, once Srimati Radhika was sitting on Krishna's lap. A bee came by, humming, thinking that her feet were a very fragrant, sweet, and tasteful lotus flower. It wanted to enter her lotus feet, and Radhika became frightened. She tried to chase the bee away, but it kept coming back. Meanwhile, Madhumangal came and drove it away with his stick. When he returned, he boasted, Madhusudan has gone. I have driven him away, and he will not come back. When Srimati Radhika heard this, she forgot that she was sitting on Krishna's lap and being caressed by him. She began to weep. Taking the word Madhusudan to mean Krishna himself, she cried out, O Madhusudan, where have you gone? When will you come back? You must come, otherwise I will die. Speaking in this way, she became unconscious in her mood of separation. Astonished, Krishna thought, what shall I do? How will I pacify her? Rohini Mayi continued, once Krishna was going cowherding with Dham, Sridham, Madhumangal, and all the other cowherd boys and his hundreds and thousands of cows. Some of the cows were black, some were golden, and some were white, and it looked as though the river Ganga, Jamuna, and Saraswati were mixing together and separating again. All that could be seen for miles and miles were the heads and bodies of cows. Krishna was just going to enter the forest, and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba were following him. They could not leave him easily, although Krishna told them, it is my wish that you return home now. Just then, Krishna somehow saw Lalita Vishaka and all the other gopis as they peered from their windows, groves, and doors here and there. Krishna was at once attracted, and then he saw Srimati Radhika. Venum karan nipatitas kalitam shikandam, brastam chapita vasanam brajaraja suno. In this verse, Sri Radha Rasa Sudanidhi, 39, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is explaining that Krishna saw Srimati Radhika performing archan from the corners of her eyes, and he very lovingly accepted her glance. He began to tremble, his flute fell from his hands, and his yellow garment fell from his shoulders. He was just about to faint when Madhumangal pushed him and said, don't you see that your father Nanda Baba is here? What are you doing? Krishna is controlled by this kind of love and affection. The gopis have so much affection that they think they have only a little.
Danya smamudha katayo piharinya eta ya nanda nanda namupatya vichitra vesham. Akaranya venuranitam saha Krishna sara pujam dadu varichitam pranayavalokai.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.11. Translation. The gopis lamented, the female deer are coming with their husbands. Their husbands are somewhat black in color, so they are called Krishna sara. Their husbands tell them, you can happily go and see Krishna. Don't fear, we are with you. Our husbands are just the opposite. If they see us talking with Krishna or looking at him, they come and chastise us. We want to die and take birth again as deer. End of translation. Sometimes Krishna becomes upset because he lacks the moods enjoyed by Srimati Radhika, Lalita and Vishakha. Therefore he comes in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to learn those moods. Mahaprabhu went to Godavari and met Sri Rai Ramananda, who is Vishakha Devi, in his Gopi Swarup. And there he underwent training for many days. After that, he went to the Gambira, and only then was he able to taste something of Radhika's love. The moods of the gopis are thus very high. Krishna is the ocean of rasa, the mellows engaged in transcendental loving relationships. He himself is rasa, and he is also rasik, the taster of rasa. At one and the same time, he is ekaras, one ras, and anekaras, many rasas. When he is ekaras, there is nothing in all the three worlds, even in Golok Vrindavan, that is not in him. He is Purnatma, most complete. He knows everything. Nothing is unknown to him. When he is anekaras, however, there is a certain mixture of rasas that he both knows and does not know. Although he knows the rasa, the taste that he experiences, in himself, he does not know the rasa in Srimati Radhika. He knows what he can taste as the enjoyer, but he does not know what is tasted by the enjoyed. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Satchinandan Gaurahari, are a mixture of both ekaras and anekaras. Ekaras is fully in Krishna, but anekaras is fully in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because in him, Srimati Radhika is present with Krishna. What are the moods in Radhika? They are Mahabhav, especially Adiruddha and Madan. Even if Srimati Radhika is sitting on the lap of Krishna, she may forget that she is with him. She thinks, "Where am I? Where has Krishna gone?" She feels such separation in meeting that Krishna cannot imagine its depth. He thinks, "I am here, and she is on my lap. My hand is on her shoulder, and yet she is searching for me, crying, 'Where is he? Where is he? Why is this so?'" To understand Radhika's mood, Krishna assumed the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes it is said that he stole it, and sometimes it is said that he begged for it. Radhika gave him something of her mood, and in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, she was testing to see whether he was playing her part well or not. In this way, there is something that Krishna never knows, and that is the mood of Radhika, the nature of her love for him, and the way in which she tastes the madhuris, sweet mellows, of his flute playing, his beautiful face, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. Although these madhuris exist in Krishna himself, he does not know fully their sweetness. He cannot taste their sweetness fully in anekaras. Therefore, Krishna lacks something, and he has to go to the school of the gopis. There, Srimati Radhika is like the principal, and Vishakha and Lalita are like departmental heads, and there he learns something about love and affection. You should know that if anyone performs bhajan of Radha Krishna Yugal, and at the same time worships Dwarkadish and Rukmini or Satyabhama, Srimati Radharani will give him up. She will say, "Go to the queens in Dwarka." An incident occurred 150 years ago in a place in India called Ranavadi, a village in Braj Mandal. A very advanced devotee lived there, and he always remembered Radhika and Krishna and their eternal pastimes throughout the 8 praharas of the day. He was so absorbed that he almost forgot his body, senses, and everything else. One day, however, he had a desire to go to the places of pilgrimage. As he had never been to Dwarka before, he especially desired to go there. In the meantime, a brahmana of his village came to him and said, "I am going to Dwarka. If you want, you can come with me. I will pay the full fare and take good care of you." The devotee replied, "Yes, I want to go with you." So they traveled here and there together and finally arrived in Dwarka. There is a rule in Dwarka that if one wants to enter its territory, he must be stamped with the hot firebrand of a chakra. The brand will remain throughout his life, and he will receive some medicine so that it will not be like a scar. That devotee from Vrindavan was branded, and then he entered the city and had darshan of many places there. After that, he returned to his own place in Vrindavan and tried to resume his bhajan. However, something strange occurred when he wanted to remember all of Krishna's pastimes. The pastimes no longer came in his memory, and instead he remembered incidents from Dwarka and other places. He became very, very worried and disturbed because of not being able to chant and remember as he had done before. He wanted to know the cause of his misfortune, but he could not discern it. Although he practiced for many days, the leelas did not manifest as before. This Babaji Maharaj had a very dear friend who lived in Radhakund. He was called Siddha Krishnadas Babaji, and he was always absorbed in remembering Krishna and in chanting. Tears constantly fell from his eyes, and his heart was always melted. Babaji Maharaj went to visit his friend, but when Siddha Krishnadas saw him from a distance, he turned away and refused to converse with him. "Go away from here at once," he said. "Otherwise, Srimati Radhika will be displeased with me as well. I know that you have gone to Dwarka and you have accepted the firebrand there. Why have you come here? If Radhika knows that you have come to me, she will be displeased with me. Go at once. At once go." That devotee became very upset and thought, "If the pastimes of Radhika and Krishna do not come in my meditation, what is the use of my life?" He returned to his bhajan kutia and locked the door from inside in a mood of great separation from Sri Radhika. After 3 days, a fire emanated from his heart and he was totally consumed, so that only some ashes remained. The villagers could not understand why he had not come out for 3 days, and finally they broke open the door and saw there only some ashes remaining. "Perhaps Babaji was in a mood of separation," they said. When they put some wooden sticks in those ashes, the sticks burned at once, and thus they realized, yes, Babaji has left his body in separation. To this very day, the residents of that village celebrate his disappearance day. Srimati Radhika may give up a devotee if he worships Radhika and Krishna of Braj, but is simultaneously remembering Rukmini and Satyabhama and offering pranam and archan to them. You should know all these truths. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have written that you should be one-pointed in your devotion to your Gurudev and your Ishtadev. You can honor everyone, including trees, creepers, animals, and devotees who are favorable to Krishna, and even those who are not favorable. You can think that Krishna is everywhere, and that all beings are his eternal servants in their constitutional spiritual forms. However, if one takes initiation in the Rupanuga line and is trying to be one-pointed, especially in trying to be a servant of Radhika, he cannot honor everyone in the same way. He cannot think that all are in the same category. Dwarkadish Krishna and Brajesh Krishna are not the same. They are the same, but at the same time, they are different. If one is just entering bhakti, there is no harm in worshipping Jagannath, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Ramchandra, Narsingadev, Gaur Nittai, and also Radha Krishna. However, this is not for advanced Madhyam Adhikaris in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. One will have to be determined in one-point devotion, otherwise Srimati Radhika, the gopis, and Yogamaya will give him up. Though all incarnations and expansions are the same in Tattva Siddhanta, there are some differences from the perspective of rasa. One cannot remain a neophyte devotee forever. He should gradually learn all these truths and try to become one-pointed. There is no harm in worshipping Jagannath if one sees him as Brajendranandan Shyam Sundara, which is how he appears in the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Rupa Goswami. Whenever Mahaprabhu went to the Jagannath temple, He did not see Baladev Prabhu and Subhadra. He simply thought, "Oh, Brajendranandan," and he ran like a mad person to embrace him. He never saw Jagannath's large round eyes, and he never saw him without his peacock feather and flute. He thought, "Krishna is there, playing on his flute. His eyes are very attractive, and he is wearing a large peacock feather. Do you see that very Krishna there in Jagannath Puri? Do you see Radhika? At the present, you do not see them, and therefore, in order to achieve this vision, you should be one-pointed to your Gurudev. There may be many Shiksha Gurus, but one Shiksha Guru should be prominent, so that we can follow him and give him our hearts. Even the cloud, the mountain, the earth, and the python may be our Shiksha Gurus, but one Shiksha Guru should be prominent, and he is similar to our Diksha Guru. There is no difference between the two. Sometimes the Shiksha Guru may be superior to the Diksha Guru. Sometimes the Diksha Guru may be superior, or they may be on the same level. From the beginning, we should be one-pointed to Brajendranandan Krishna. That Krishna should not simply be Gopikanta, the beloved of the gopis, because if he is, then he may also be Chandravalikanta, Padmakanta, and Saivakanta. We should be one-pointed to Radhakanta, and pray Radhakanta Namostute. This is very deep and high Siddhanta. During the Rathiyatra festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in many elevated dialogues with his intimate associate, Swarup Damodar, about the difference between the love of the gopis and that of the queens of Dwarka. If one has some taste and greed to follow the gopis, and his aim and object is Samartha Rati, then he can know something about these topics. This is the essence of the entire chariot festival. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu added to the meaning of the Rathiyatra festival, turning it in a different way than previously performed. He made Gundicha like Sundarachal Vrindavan, while the Jagannath Puri temple in Nilachal represents Dwarka. All the gopis were in a mood of great separation at the Gundicha Mandir, just as they were in Vrindavan. That is why, after Jagannath had been in the Puri temple for an entire year, he made an excuse to leave. He told his wife Lakshmi, "I am so sick. I need to go somewhere else for 10 days for a change. I will go and then return very quickly." That is how he got permission from Lakshmi to go. Jagannath Dev took Balaram with him, because Baladev has taken birth in Gokul as Rohini Suta, the son of Rohini. His sister Subhadra is a manifestation of Yogamaya, and she always used to associate with Rohini, so she knew the glories of the gopis and gopas. She requested Krishna, "Brother, I want to go with you. Please take me." And he replied, "Yes, you can come." Lakshmi never knew where Krishna desired to go. None of the queens ever knew. Vimala Devi, who represents the queens in Dwarka, never knew, and that is why she allowed him to go. Krishna was so engaged in playing in the groves with the gopis that he forgot to return. On the fifth day, called Hira Panchami, Lakshmi became very worried and wondered, "Where has my husband gone?" She searched here and there, but could not discover his whereabouts. Then, adorned with great opulence, she sat on a golden chariot and went to search further with many associates who were holding sticks and other paraphernalia. When they arrived at the Gundicha Mandir, they saw Krishna's chariot there. The associates of Lakshmi picked up their sticks and began to beat the chariot. They captured all the associates of Jagannath, who were all actually associates of Mahaprabhu and who represented the gopis. When Krishna entered a room and locked it from the inside, Lakshmi told the gopis, "You must return him, otherwise I will come again and punish you, and Krishna as well." After speaking like this, she returned.
Ratera upare kare dandere tadana, kora praya kare jagannather sevak gana, sabhabritya gana kahe yoda kari hata, kali ani diba toma age jagannatha, tabe shantahana lakshmi yaya nijagara, Amara Lakshmir Sampad Vakya Agochara.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 14:211-213. All the maidservants began to beat the chariot with sticks, and they treated the servants of Lord Jagannath almost like thieves. Finally, all of Lord Jagannath's servants submitted to the Goddess of Fortune with folded hands, assuring her that they would bring Lord Jagannath before her the very next day. Being thus pacified, the Goddess of Fortune returned to her apartment. Just see, my Goddess of Fortune is opulent beyond all description. End of translation. Mahaprabhu has added this idea to the Rath Yatra festival, that the gopis brought Krishna from the Mandir in Nilachal. They brought him from Dwarka.
Seta parana natapainu yahalagi madana dahane jarugenu.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 13:113. Srimati Radhika said, "Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away." End of translation. This singing of Radhika and the gopis is a very deep mood behind the Rath Yatra festival. They were pulling the ropes of Jagannath's chariot by the moods of their separation, and he was coming with them to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Radhika, and therefore, when he came in front of the Rath, he made a hada 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 sound, cracking sound. It was coming, running towards Gundicha Mandir. In the mood of Radhika, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not think, "I am Krishna." Rather, he saw Krishna in the deity of Jagannath. Rohini Mayi related many pastimes, and all the queens were listening eagerly. As Krishna sat in his Sudama assembly hall, he was aware that Rohini was speaking in Rukmini's palace, and he could no longer remain where he was. He wanted to go to the place where Rohini Mayi was talking about Vrindavan, and at once he arrived at her door with Baladev. Subhadra was already standing guard at the door, and as she heard Rohini's words, she said, "Brother, you cannot go in. Mayi Rohini will rebuke me if I let you enter. She told me, stay by the door and make sure that no males come in here, not even Krishna and Baladev. If they come, stop them. So please remain here. You can go in when the discussion is finished." Although Subhadra stopped Krishna and Baladev from entering, they could hear through the door what Rohini was telling the queens. Krishna was standing at Subhadra's left, and Baladev Prabhu was at her right, and together they began to listen very carefully. As Rohini Mayi continued to speak, her heart began to melt, and all the queens were struck with wonder. As she described the glories of the love and affection of Vrindavan, Krishna became so absorbed that his own heart began to melt, and his fingers also melted in that love and affection. As all three heard about the glories of the gopis and how they loved Krishna, they all began to melt. They wept, and as they wept, their hands melted, their feet melted, their mouths melted, and only the shapes of the Jagannath deities remained. At that time, Rohini Mayi could not continue her description. She could no longer speak, for she had fainted from her bitter weeping. Gradually, Krishna began to return to external consciousness, and his former shape began to come back, little by little. When his form had fully returned to its normal features, Krishna entered the palace room and saw that Mother Rohini had fainted. Then he saw Narad, who was looking very guilty, thinking, "I am responsible for these incidents. I said something to Rukmini and Satyabhama, and then they called Mother Rohini, and she began to speak about all these topics, so I am guilty." As he was thinking like this, Krishna told him, "I think all this has happened only because of you. You are the main cause. Perhaps you said something to the queens to worry them, and that is why they began questioning Mother Rohini. You are the root cause of these events. I am very happy, very, very happy. You reminded me of Braj, and I heard its glories. I want to give you a boon. You may ask from me anything." Narad then became very happy as well, and he told Krishna, "I want this boon. All three of you melted when you heard about your pastimes and the glories of the gopis and brijbasis. My desire is that you will remain in those forms somewhere in this world, and that the whole world will see you. In that form, you will be Patit Pavan, the savior of the fallen, and the entire world will be liberated by your darshan. That is what I want." Your hands and feet shrank and melted completely. Everything was melted, and at that time you were absorbed in love and affection. I want the deities of you three to be manifest in this world and worshipped everywhere. People throughout the world will see you. They will learn this history, and they will develop pure love and affection for you. Krishna replied, "Yes, Tatosmi, it will be. I will manifest these three deities and Sudarshan Chakra in Jagannath Puri on the bank of the ocean. We will always remain there. There is a mountain called Niladri there, and that mountain is in the shape of a tortoise or a conch shell. I will always be there, and everyone will be able to see us. It is because of this incident that the deity of Jagannath smiled when speaking to King Indradumna." Jagannath Dev had been remembering this pastime of Rohini Mai speaking to the queens, and also his promise to Narada Rishi. Why did Krishna mention Sudarshan Chakra here? Su means very good, and Darshan means vision. If Sudarshan does not give you eyes, if he does not help you by purifying you and giving you transcendental vision, you cannot actually see Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. You will think they are made of wood and not very beautiful. But if Sudarshan gives you this light, this vision, then you can realize he is Brajendranandan Shyam Sundara. This history of the appearance of Jagannath is very lovely, and you are fortunate to hear it.